afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Thursday, July 21st, 2022. Hello, David.
Hey, happy Thursday, Melody.
Yes.
It's a National Junk Food Day.
Mm-hmm.
I can certainly relate to that. I just enjoyed a couple of Almond Joy bars before the program started. But, hey, more importantly, it's National Get to Know Your Customers Day. Yeah. So to all our current and prospective clients out there, thank you so much for your business. If you're a prospective client, for all your gold and silver needs, give us a call today at 1-800-375-4188.
You know, over the years, what I've really enjoyed about our clients is you really do know them, you know, because there's so much that we share, and we all have the same values, and we share them, and you really get to know them. Maybe not some, but I would say probably, 80% of my clients, or even more than that. You know, we do become like family. And, you know, we go through their trials and tribulations, and so it is a very special, and I view myself as being blessed because of that uniqueness that we share, and becoming a little close with customers. And so very special.
You don't get that with the big boys.
No, you don't. And the online sellers, they just, you know, here's your number and so forth and whatnot. But anyway, I didn't want to talk about anybody else, but just how great our customers are, and that I've been blessed to have you as customers and friends and family. Anyway, moving on before I get any more sappy and a tear comes rolling down my cheek, we're going to go to gold. Well, a tear might roll down my cheek today out of joy. We had an up day in gold today. Woohoo! $23 in the New York spot price after market, $1,720. The big question is, have we touched a bottom? And I'd like to think we did. Silver was up also 1% today at $18.94. Platinum was up $23 at $888. Palladium was up 25 at $1,957. And let's go to the, you know, the dollar index. Of course, it's far away from when it was approaching 109. We're at 106.77, down 0.27. Crude oil took a beating today, down 3.5 at 96.40. And the paper markets today, I didn't have a chance to follow them much today. They were negative most of the morning, but they did turn around, of course. The Dow was up 0.5%, 162 points, 32,036. S&P was up 39 points, 3,998. And NASDAQ was up 1.3%, 161 points at 12,059. And let's see if there was a couple of interesting things that I know you don't have, Dave, that I just wanted to touch on. Nikkei, it was up positive, but Shanghai and the Hang Seng was negative. Euro, it was a mixed bag. We're going to talk a little bit about Euro and what their smart European Central Bank did. It just cracks me up. It really does. Our 10-year yield, 2.899. So that dropped a little bit today for the 10-year yield. And I just wanted to touch on a couple things that, you know, we can just, you know, pretty much just do a little bit of the headlines and so forth. But I think it's important to see what's really going on and how it does affect you. I don't think we have this on the reports today, but Ford is planning to cut up to 8,000 jobs. And that's to fund the push into the electric vehicle market. 8,000 jobs in the coming weeks as they're trying to boost their profits to fund its push into the electric vehicle market. Now, you know, people are going to lose their jobs. All of this to push the electric vehicle with most of those people, most of the people in this country can't even afford or will ever be able to afford. Our infrastructure can't handle the additional increase in the charging. There are no charging units. That's all going to come from the taxpayer to fund these companies. And it's just like, good grief. How much more are they going to take from people just to push into this electric vehicle market? So, yeah, that got my goat today. It's like how disgusting these companies are. And to the push of these administrations who want to push this at a time when that shouldn't be pushed, all for something that isn't even logical at the moment. And there was another one that I caught my eye. We did talk about the mortgage demand hits a 22-year low. Are we going to Chinese buyers, they're stepping in to buy gold with the low prices. You know, a lot of that is based talked that they've increased a representative from the flagship store of China Gold Corp or Gold Group in Beijing said the number of consumers asking about gold bars had nearly doubled and sale volumes were up 20%. Well, you know, if it's true about the bank runs over there and they can't get their money out and so forth, yeah, that would kind of make them push to go buy gold. I mean, Chinese like gold anyway, so it's nothing new to them. And but hey, they're buying on the dip, and I think it's a pretty smart thing for them to do. And but those were the two most things that I thought was interesting. You know, Ford planning and. You know, it's just a sign of where we're at and where we're headed. And it's not good for the consumers out there. It's only good for their pocketbooks and to make them wealthier and more powerful. And, you know, I mentioned that the European Central Bank, yeah, they increased their interest rates. This is the first time in 11 years. The funny thing about it is... So they raised it by 50 basis point, and they're bringing it the deposit rate to zero. That's what's so funny, Dave. Ooh, raising it 50 basis points all the way up to zero. And
negative rates.
I mean, doesn't anybody see the – or is it – or I'm just thinking in the wrong way. But doesn't anybody see how ridiculous this is, you know, that they've been in negative rates for so long, and it's just the conditions in order to contain a negative rate basis and finally getting it to zero, the absurdity of it. I mean, and this is all supposed to be, you know, I don't know, Dave. Everything is great. We can have zero rates. Isn't that great, Dave? I think it's funny, but...
Depends who you're talking to. They're like the Fed in terms of what they're saying, that their move, their interest rate hike, will support the return of inflation to their medium-term target of 2%.
Joke.
Ensuring that demand conditions adjust to deliver its target. That means that demand will fall. So it would be closer to a supply-demand equilibrium. But you have one guy, Seema Shah, who works at Principal Global Investors, said the ECB is not tightening its policy against this backdrop of economic growth, and certainly not accompanied by smiles. Instead, he says, the ECB is hiking into a drastically slowing economy, facing a severe stagflationary shock that's quite beyond its control, while also facing an Italian political crisis, which we'll get to in a second, which presents a difficult sovereign risk dilemma.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so ridiculous, you know. They're all between a rock and a hard place. Nothing's going to work. You know, they can all talk that it's going to help inflation, drop inflation to their 2% target rate. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. And so difficult times are coming, and instead of thinking that, oh, they're going to be in charge and make everything good for me again, you better get prepared. And our broadcast goes global, so those of you that are over in those areas and you hear us, you better get, maybe you ought to be doing what the Chinese people are doing, buying gold on the dips. You know? But anyway, another article out today, which to me, again, we have, I don't know if it's good news, Dave, I guess it's some if you live over there, but the operator of Nord Stream 1, a key gas pipeline that runs from Russia to Germany, said they're going to process of resuming flows to Europe. But they cut those flows, what, 60%? So they're only getting 40% of their normal flows anyway, I believe.
Yeah, less, yeah, 30%. Yeah.
So what's all, well, I guess a little is better than nothing, but it doesn't solve their problem. So this is not good news. I mean, it's good news to, you know. So anyway, and the Nord Stream 2, that's not working or still shut down or whatever. So was Nord Stream 2 complete? Yeah, it was completed, no. Or it was supposed to have been completed.
Yeah, they haven't opened that yet.
Yeah, yeah. But so again, it's a reduced volume, nothing to get all excited about, but Russia did decide to at least let them have a little bit of a taste.
Yeah, I guess the optimists believe it's buying them some time, some additional time to figure out where they're going to get their heating fuels from as the winter gets closer and closer. They've got a big challenge there, and who knows how this Russian war progresses later into the summer and fall. You know, it could get worse, and, you know, some are speculating, and it's pure speculation at this point, but has some basis in reality that Putin could decide to shut it all back down again and really put the hammer to the Europeans. We don't know. That's not meant as a scare tactic. It's meant as a potential reality because, I mean, certainly Germany and the EU in general has been dependent on Russian oil and gas. So their problem is in the short run, the alternatives present a big problem. So, you know, the European Commission's told the 27 member nations that they have to cut their gas consumption by 15% until March in an effort to save energy. So it looks as though they're going to be looking perhaps at rationing in the fall, especially if Gazprom provides no more flow through Nord Stream 1. And again, Ursula von der Leyen, EC head, said that she thinks the Kremlin will go ahead with the complete cutoff of gas supplies to Europe later on. So who knows, you know, what everyone's thinking here, Melody.
Yeah, but which came first, the sanctions or his cutoff?
Oh, well, if you're looking at timing, sanctions.
Yeah, so, you know, they reacted to all these sanctions, but, you know, so. Yep. I mean, I'm not supporting it. I mean, you know, I mean, you're, but.
Tit for tat. That's what global leaders are good at.
We mentioned Italy earlier, that they're having their issues, and yeah, their prime minister, he resigned today. Of course, I don't think he was the best leader that they ever had either. So maybe it's good for Italy. He was unable to unite his fragile coalition government, and he was going to meet with President Sergio Mattarella. And Mattarella has asked him to remain in place in the interim with a caretaker government. So anyway, he's resigning. And, of course, you know, he was probably one of the worst things. Well, they're all bad over there. But anyway.
Yeah, anyway. That timing's not good for the Italian government or people. In fact, Mattarella actually rejected Draghi's first resignation that he submitted recently and directed him to lead more negotiations with lawmakers in the hope of avoiding what they call snap elections. Alas, it wasn't meant to be. A lot of their infightings over how to lower inflation and deal with these rising energy costs. They've also had ongoing issues with corruption, although that hasn't been in the news as much as it had been in the past. But now that he's lost the vote of confidence, Draghi, I'm not sure what he'll do next.
Hopefully nothing.
Yeah, he'll perhaps.
He should go retire somewhere.
Buy a Russian buy a Russian yacht and go sail the seas of Lake Como.
Yeah, I mean, Italy has some of the highest debt piles in Europe. They're facing record inflation. You know, Italy's got its issues. And none of these politicians over there, and you know, it's they just don't do anything because there isn't anything they can do except make it worse. And they're good at that. They're good at making things worse. Create more debt, create higher inflation, and no way to turn it around. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at DGS. Came across a website today that was very similar to mine, and I'll guarantee you I had mine first. DGScoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter and David's blog. And we got some new articles going in there from periodically. So we're adding two. So DGScoins.com. I guess we had a little bit of a reprieve from gasoline prices. You know, they seem to be heading a little bit more towards the $4 a gallon. But if there's any type of a hurricane or any other type of disruption, you know, down there around that Texas area, you know, we might see some more higher prices, or, you know, maybe some smaller fuel supplies. The national average for unleaded gasoline was $4.47 per gallon yesterday. And, I mean, it's still pretty hefty, $4.47. So don't get too excited. Even if it goes to $4, it's still pretty hefty. And this is weekly data on gasoline demand from the Energy Information Administration suggests that you guys, you drivers, have cut back on gasoline use. And the tighter supplies are improving. Tom Kloza, head of the Global Energy Research at Opus, said they spoke to three big chain retailers, and they said of demand in the last 3 weeks were down 5 or 6%. From the same weeks last year. That's really not a whole lot, 5 or 10%, but I guess in the scheme of things, it could be up 5 or 6%. And we know that prices vary widely across the U.S. Some in Georgia, or they're only paying $3.98 per gallon, while those poor Californians are paying $5.84 just for regular unleaded, Dave.
Yeah, on average. Some of them are, northern counties are paying well into the sixes still. This Kloza person says that recession concerns are keeping a lid on oil futures right now. But, again, he said prices could go back to $5 or above later in the year, again, depending on any number of factors, not the least of which is Putin's war, plus, as Melody mentioned, we are coming quickly into another hurricane season, and plus there's all sorts of other geopolitical concerns as well. So energy inflation accounted for nearly half the 9.1% annual rise in the consumer price index in June. Oil prices, a big factor in gasoline prices, in addition to refinery costs and what have you. Crude has crept back up lately after West Texas Intermediate crude fell into the low 90s earlier this month. Now, according to the EIA, gasoline demand was 8.5 million barrels per day last week. That's up from about 8.1 million barrels the week before. But off of the 9.3 million barrels from a year earlier. Another guy said prior to the pandemic, demand would have been 9.5 million barrels at this time of year. So clearly demand being affected, whether it's by the price of gas or other factors in combination, well, you know better than we do.
What's that? Who?
You listeners know better than we do.
Well, you know, all we have to do is buy oil from us, and it'd probably make a big difference instead of begging to the Saudis and Iran. That doesn't even make sense. I can't imagine anybody making sense out of that. We could just buy right from here and probably have a lot lower gasoline prices. But hey, that's too easy, I guess. But anyway, moving on. Talking of supply chain issues, disruptions, and hopefully we can get in the last one of this, the baby formula shortage. This is your Levity is Golden about the supply chain disruptions, Dave.
Yeah, well, think back to the year 2000. I mean, you had message boards on fire with stock trading tips. Pets.com had a Super Bowl commercial.
The future, as we were heading into a recession.
Right, that's exactly right. The future's so bright, you had to wear shades. The new millennium is clearly digital, and Cisco, which makes computer parts needed to power the internet, had a record order backlog of $3.4 billion. Company's market cap hit $575 billion, and Cisco overtook Microsoft to briefly become the world's most valuable company. Now, fast forward a couple of years, and Cisco's order book has been more than halved, $1.4 billion. Share price has sunk a stunning 85%. It's a market change in the space of 2 years, so hey, what happened? In retrospect, it seems clear that Cisco's backlog of orders was inflated.
No.
I mean, the company even warned the possibility in certain of its SEC filings. Specifically, it noted that Cisco does not believe that its backlog as of any particular date is necessarily indicative of actual net sales for any future period. Phew. Try to unbundle that. Its customers were free to place orders and then cancel them without penalty. With the benefit of hindsight, it seems many had been over-ordering to make up for long production delays. Cisco noted that year that long manufacturing lead times caused our customers to place the same order multiple times within our various sales channels. Well, the story of Cisco's bouncing backlog is an instructive one. As we enter yet another earnings season, we know that the bullwhip effect has probably been in play in recent years as companies grapple with their own supply chain and logistics issue and struggle to balance supply and demand. The question, Melody, is the extent to which the expectation of supply chain issues has obscured actual demand. Bloomberg's Tracy Alloway believes there's a real difference between ordering multiple trucks, couches, or semiconductors because you expect delays and shortages, and ordering them because you think there's a real demand for the products out there. In short, tells me that these snafus and everything else involved in the supply chain logistical network, just making people start to play games, numbers games, and just going to come back and not just bite them, but bite all of us who really want and need some of these items.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is, well, they were taking orders and then he canceled. You can cancel it if you want to, you know, and so forth and whatnot. So, I mean, all they did was pad their books for how many years? And Cisco's not alone. It's not like they're the only one out there that did this.
And yet
it's all okay. You know?
Well,
go right ahead and do, huh?
Well, yeah, no, it makes you wonder, you know, a wink and a nod. Is this something that everybody does and everybody knows that everyone else is doing?
Absolutely.
Except us.
Except the people out there that are investing. Except the people out there that are investing in their companies and so forth, and Wall Street. Yeah. You know, again, it's just another way to rig the system, you know, to keep things going. And, you know, and the buyers, they're your 401s, your retirement accounts. Hey, you know, they looked good there for a while. And so this is just another piece of the pie or the puzzle that is creating a very ugly picture, you know, that puzzle. And, you know, the pieces are coming in there, and what it's looking like is not a good thing for your purchasing power in what we're going to face here. Some people are saying this fall, you know, but I've been hearing about that October surprise for almost 30 years. And in the meantime, people are looking for this major October surprise when right underneath their nose, they're losing on a daily basis, but they don't see that because you're all looking for that big one. But it's happening every day to you where your purchasing power gets less and less and things are changing and so forth. And perhaps we don't see it where we want to see it, like in the gold prices. But in the meantime, they're still taking so much, not everything, but so much from your purchasing power and your ability to. I can't tell you how many times today alone I've heard people say, it's getting really tough for me. Retired people, it's getting tough. It's getting harder and harder. The funds are not stretching. And I've tried to do things to make it easier, but it's not, this is not going away. So that's what we have to face. And it's just, get prepared out there, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, since we're on the supply chains, you had another article about that where the U.S. largest ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach registered their busiest June on record and are projected to handle ever more cargo this month as retailers stock shelves ahead of the holiday season. So, you know, what we face in the last 2 years that disrupted the global trade lanes, exposed cracks in the U.S. logistics network. Even this inflation, because it's all done on credit cards, hasn't stopped the American consumer, Dave.
Nope.
You know, nope. It's like, hello.
It's funny, Port of L.A. Executive Director Gene Soroka, how he put it, he said, we Americans may start buying hamburger instead of steak, and we may buy beer instead of fine wine. We're going to watch our family pocketbook a little bit closer, but we're going to keep buying. Although, you know, these shipping strains have seemed to ease up, as they're gearing up for the holidays, things could get intense. Plus, we have these contract talks between the union dock workers and the West Coast ports. That could, oh boy, can you imagine if there were a strike?
What is the date on that?
I forget what when that contract runs out, the current one.
Yeah, this week or next week. It was this month. That's all we have left. So, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But you know what? The thing of it is, people are, you know, they might continue to buy and they might drop down. However, but they do give up stuff. Retirement people, the elderly, maybe instead of getting their medications on a monthly basis and take one every day, they might take them every other day. They might do other things to cut back in order to survive. And that's just all wrong. you know, we were going to talk the other day about the pharmaceutical companies and trying to get the Medicare to start making deals and trying to get lower prescriptions. How about making them here in the U.S. instead of China? Gee, what a concept. Lord knows what can be in those medications they're feeding, they're giving to every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this country. I mean, we were living on pharmaceuticals in this nation, and it all comes from China. That's going to make you feel good. So I'm lowering the prices. Just make the stuff here. Baby formula. That shortage continues. It's worsened in recent weeks. In spite of flying in millions of packets of formula from across the world over the past couple of months. There's a piece for the New York Post analyzed data from the market research firm IRI, which reported that 28% of powdered baby formula products were out of stock at U.S. stores in the week ending July 10th. This is higher than the 23.7% found to be missing from shelves in the week ending May 22nd, the same week the shortage received massive media coverage. Figures reported last week were worse, with a percentage of 29.5%, the highest peak this year. I mean, come on. A total of 48 flights has been dispatched to send baby formula to the United States as of July 17th. There was additional two flights containing 800,000 8-ounce bottles worth of Nestle Health Science Alfamino infant and Alfamino junior formula that's supposed to arrive from Switzerland today and tomorrow. But what they're bringing in is not, obviously it's not satisfying the demand or the need for parents to feed their babies. Not if last week had a percentage of 29.5%, the highest peak this year. How is bringing all that formula and how is that even not even making a dent? Does it make sense, Dave? Does it?
Joe Antos at the American Enterprise Institute said this idea that some publicist in the White House came up with was really meant to impress people with the administration's concern, but it's pretty much a drop in the bucket compared to what would normally be imported if we had regular imports of baby formula from anywhere else.
And we shouldn't have to be getting baby formula from anywhere else. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And one more time today, welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen, Melody taking care of clients this final segment. Again, 1-800-375-4188. Now, companies hit the brakes on deal making during the first half of 2022 as concerns over high inflation, interest rate hikes, the threat of a recession, all looming over Wall Street. Overall, companies announced $2.2 trillion worth of buyout deals in the first half of the year, but that's a 21% drop from the year before. Number of deals also fell, dropping 17% during that period. It's the slowest start to the year for deal making since the pandemic stunned markets in 2020. Some of the biggest deals, like Microsoft's $69 billion purchase of game maker Activision Blizzard, announced early in the year before the long list of worries really started weighing on Manhattan banks. The tally also includes Elon Musk's $44 billion takeover bid for Twitter, announced in April, but now uncertain whether it'll go through. Recession concerns have hampered deal making, but worries about higher interest rates are also playing a role in limiting that activity. Higher interest rates make deals, much like overall borrowing, more expensive. A lot of it's done on borrowed money and tend to make companies more cautious about pursuing big purchases in general. Terry Sandman, who is chief equity strategist at U.S. Bank Wealth Management, says that higher interest rates, by definition, cause the discount mechanism to fade. If you believe interest rates are going to trend higher, the goal is to get the deal done before that. The Federal Reserve had kept rates at historic lows to jolt economic growth during the pandemic, and that helped fuel gains for the stock market, as well as a surge in M&A activity. Now, the Fed's aggressively raising rates to rein in that inflation, they think, by slowing economic growth, hopefully with the so-called soft landing. But Wall Street more and more worried that the Fed could hit the brakes too hard on an already slowing economy, slowing pretty doggone quickly. We'll know more about that next week when second quarter GDP is released, whether or not we've entered a recession. Technology sector deals, which are typically among the biggest, totaled $531 billion the first half of the year. That was a 19% drop. That sector's been particularly hard hit by concerns about rising interest rates, which make their pricey stock valuations less attractive to investors. Now, speaking of big tech, hopes for a congressional vote this summer on a major tech antitrust bill have apparently all but fizzled out as the congressional August recess quickly approaches. Washington, D.C. observers are saying it's more likely than ever that this Congress will push efforts to pass big tech competition rules into the fall, where they will face even slimmer chances with lawmakers distracted by November midterm elections. And if an autumn push should fail, competition regulation is just going to have to wait for the new Congress next year. And if the GOP takes back congressional control, it's unlikely to be a top priority. Although the Bipartisan American Innovation and Competition Online Act is co-sponsored by Democrat Senator Amy Klobuchar and Republican Chuck Grassley, that act would ban big tech companies from favoring their own services in anti-competitive ways. For example, Apple would have to allow third-party payment systems, and Google couldn't surface its reviews over others in search results. The Senate bill's a companion to a similar House bill approved by the House Judiciary Committee last year. The American Innovation and Competition Online Act has bipartisan support, but floor time is dwindling as a list of other Democratic priorities, including budget reconciliation, take precedence. The Senate is only in session until August 5th, and Congress's main tech priority is to pass a narrower version of the bill meant to bolster American tech manufacturing. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he was aiming for a summer antitrust vote if the bill had 60 backers, which are going to be needed to get around any filibuster. A recent count from the Washington Post finds that fewer than 60 senators right now, at least publicly, back the bill. One Hill aide said the bill's backers see the fall, which is often a dead zone for bipartisan legislation before elections, as a viable option because of the legislation's range of support. So 60 votes are not be interesting to see what comes out of that. Schumer has promised a vote. Grassley and Klobuchar insist they have 60 votes. But the proof will be when the vote is called. Advocates of the bill do warn that if the bill hits the floor at any point before a new Congress is sworn in, that it will pass with at least 60 yes votes. They say members of Congress are simply keeping their votes private until it's actually time to support the policy or to vote on the policy. Why? Well, they fear pressure and lobbying from big tech if they publicly support the policy. The House began this current legislative push in 2020. The sweeping report charging the biggest U.S. tech companies like Meta, Amazon, Apple, and Google with putting their own products and services ahead of competitors. The lobbying apparently has been intense, with big tech and its advocacy groups dropping millions of bucks on TV and online advertisements opposing the effort. Well, here's one to raise eyebrows. Rodriguez Perez Ortega writes in the latest Science magazine that violence can seem to be everywhere in the U.S. and political violence is in the spotlight, of course, with the January 6th insurrection as Exhibit A. Now, a large study confirms that 1 in 5 Americans believe violence motivated by political reasons is at least sometimes justified. And more importantly, nearly half expect a civil war. Many say they would trade democracy for a strong leader. Rachel Kleinfeld, who's a political violence expert at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, who wasn't involved in this research, said this is not a study that's meant to shock, but the numbers should be shocking. Now, part of the study also showed firearms death in the U.S. grew by 43% between 2010 and 2020, and that gun sales surged during the pandemic. Garen Wintemute, an emergency medical physician and longtime gun violence researcher at the University of California, Davis, wondered what those trends portend for civil unrest. He says, sometimes being an ER doc is like being the bowman on the Titanic, going, look at that iceberg. That, and he and his colleagues surveyed more than 8,600 adults in English and Spanish about their views on democracy in the U.S., racial attitudes, society, about their own attitudes toward political violence. Part of the Ipsos Knowledge Panel. It's an online research panel that's been widely used for research on violence and firearm ownership. Now, although almost all respondents thought it's important for the U.S. to remain a democracy, about 40% said having a strong leader is more important, and half expect a civil war here in the next few years. The survey didn't specify exactly when. The fact that basically half the companies expecting a civil war is, well, that's chilling. I actually lose sleep over that myself some nights. But Wintermute says many expect to take part. Research found found in a situation where they think violence is justified to advance an important political objective, about one in five thinks they would likely be armed with a gun. About 7% of participants, which would correspond to about 18 million adults here, said they'd be willing to kill a person in such a situation. Kleinfeld says the study's findings are compelling because of the large number of participants, because it asked about specific scenarios where participants think violence is justified, like for self-defense or to stop people with different political beliefs from voting. The sample does slightly overrepresent older people, so who aren't known to commit much violence worldwide. So the fact that you're still getting these high numbers, Kleinfeld says, is really quite concerning. She's less alarmed by the shaky support for democracy, noting that political gridlock, as in politics today, can often distort attitudes like that. She said what people mean by democracy is actually pretty fuzzy. Political paralysis, she adds, can quickly lead people to think, yeah, I like democracy, but yeah, I want a strong man in leadership. Findings are scary but not surprising, says Kurt Braddock, who studies the psychology of extremist communication at American University in Washington. In recent years, he says the U.S. has seen an increase in individual willingness to engage in violence. For example, homicide in cities have increased 44% from 2019 to 2021. He says that's an attitude that's likely to spill into the political sphere at some point. Researchers have criticized the sampling and survey methods of previous studies like this that have found increasing support for political violence. But this new study generally agrees with earlier efforts, according to Kleinfeld. A small survey from 2021, for example, found about 46%. Thought there'd soon be another civil war. Another showed more than one-third agree that the traditional American way of life is disappearing so fast that we may have to use force to save it. Barb Walter, who's a political scientist at the University of California, San Diego, who also was not involved in this study, agrees, but she suspects survey responses overrepresent number of Americans who'd be willing to turn to violence because, she says, surveys tend to overstate what people actually think. Numbers always tend to be shocking, she says, but in essence are probably not true. Nevertheless, Wintermute and colleagues found that conspiracy theories, some rooted in racism, are helping shape more and more views about political violence. They found that roughly two in five, 40%, agreed with the white nationalist great replacement theory, or idea that native-born white voters are being replaced by immigrants for electoral gains. Now, the study team did look at affiliation with certain extremist groups like the Proud Boys, but Winnemute said the group's now looking at follow-up analyses to look at other political affiliations, I guess, before releasing details. To reduce the threat of political violence, Braddock says, the first step is to call out disinformation online and in media of all sorts, some of which is taken directly from extremist propaganda. He says we need to call that out for what it is before we can begin to address problems it's causing. Kleinfeld also adds that leaders from politicians and media personalities to church pastors can make a big difference. Experiments show that courageous leaders can deter their communities from engaging in violence. Kleinfeld says now's the time to take this seriously and not put our heads in the sand. Hey, that's all the time we have for today's program. Be back next Tuesday. Melody back tomorrow. Butch. Also be on the lookout for our What a Russian Gold block. Thanks as always to our engineer Todd and to you, our listener, for tuning in to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Have a great evening. Please be safe out there. Bye-bye. I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.